Looking forward to it. So we are in 15 days of prayer as we begin to understand and ask God for the new season we're coming into. Every year as a church, we try to dedicate a tithe of the calendar year, a tenth of all of the year to prayer. So at least 5.5 weeks of our calendar is for prayer. And so what we do is, this is one of the times as we're finishing off a summer and people are getting ready to go back to school, people are done with vacations, getting ready for work, college students getting ready to go off. We're in this place where this is the perfect time to press in to prayer. I'm going to invite you to be in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. As we look at what Jesus told the disciples that before a new season in their life, that they should take time to press into prayer. And so we're going to look at Acts chapter 1. The disciples have this great, all these great promises. They have all this great future. And yet Jesus says, before you start to do that, I want you to pray. And I want you to pray for something very specific. If Jesus said the first disciples should do that, then we should too. So it's Acts chapter 1, and I want you to look starting at verse 4. And while staying with the disciples, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I want us, for starting today, for the next 15 days, would you take time every day to pray to be filled with more of the Holy Spirit in your life and in our church? This is what Jesus told the first disciples to do. He had given them the Great Commission. He had told them that they were to go out and declare the good news and that they would even perform miracles in doing what they were called to do. But Jesus said, before you go do it, I know I told you to do it, but before you go, you need to wait and you need to receive not just some of the Holy Spirit, but they used the word baptism, the idea of someone completely, every part of a person being influenced and drenched with the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes in our life, We believe, we sang a song this morning. In the song we sang, "I believe in God the Father, I believe in Christ the Son," and the next line was what? "I believe in the Holy Spirit." So we say we believe in the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we don't know how to live that out. A matter of fact, sometimes Christianity treats the Holy Spirit like this extra for certain people, when the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, is what every person needs. The Trinity is not the Father, Son, and the Holy Bible. The Scripture is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And somehow we've kind of confused the understanding that Jesus didn't come just to forgive us of our sins. It's great to be empty of what is wrong, but Jesus is saying we need to be filled with what is right. Because in the end, we can't live in God's promises or peace without God's presence and power. Now, today we'll be doing soccer at 6 p.m. We've been having a wonderful turnout from our Latino and Anglo and African American. We've all been together playing soccer. It's been a lot of fun. And I can watch Lionel Messi play all the time. And I can watch him, this famous soccer player, but I can't go out and do what he does. Because just because I'm watching him, and just because I see what he does, doesn't mean I have the ability to do it, right? Like, I can see what Jesus has promised, and I can hear that God has peace and forgiveness and victory for me, but just because I see it doesn't mean I can do it. I need the ability of the person, not just the visual learning, not just seeing or hearing the person. I need the presence and the power of God, not just the promises. And so Jesus came not just to forgive us, he came to fill us with the ability that he had. Because on this earth, Jesus lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now it says in 1 John 2:6, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. The Bible says if you believe in Jesus, that you should live like he lived on this earth. And in the Gospel of Luke, it's pretty clear how Jesus lived. Here it is. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was, what was that? Led by the Spirit in the desert. Later on, Jesus returns to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And then he quotes about how his ministry is all about the Spirit of the Lord is on me. You see, Jesus came not to just forgive us of our sin, but to show us a new way to live. And at the cross, when he died, he gave us the ability to receive. Now we're forgiven, and now his Holy Spirit can come and live in us and through us. But again, sometimes we develop this kind of bad attitude towards the Holy Spirit, especially if we're kind of a quiet personality, and then we're in a church service, and we see someone really loud saying that the Holy Spirit's on them, so we think, oh, that must be for people who are really loud and expressive. Right? That's for those people. Or maybe we think, well, in this denomination, they don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, but okay, Pastor Sean, you're over here at the Assemblies of God. It's a Pentecostal church. It's just because that's what you're saying. Well, no. Again, what I want to encourage you is each of us need to have an attitude toward and a relationship with the Holy Spirit based on studying the life of Jesus, instead of having an attitude toward the Holy Spirit or a relationship with the Holy Spirit based on what we've seen in the service. There's so much more. And so what I want to encourage us is in these 15 days, I'd like you and me to every day for 15 days say, Jesus, would you fill me more with your Holy Spirit? Show me what that's like. And for all, I thought about different denominations, and I remember reading this quote, and I know a lot of us were kind of in the Bible Belt, so we got a lot of Southern Baptists in the crowd, right? Well, here's the president of the Southern Baptist, just so you know it's not a Pentecostal charismatic thing. To live in the abundant life Jesus promised is to live with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit causes us to live in the presence and power of Jesus every day. Every day. This is what you and I need. And we live in this world where people say, I feel empty. Well, what do you think is supposed to be there? It's supposed to be the presence of God in your life. That's what you are made for. We live in this world where there's a lot of addictions. We live in this world where there's a lot of challenges. Each of us in this room are probably about to enter into a season of some things that are bigger and harder than what we've got the ability to do. That was the first disciples. And Jesus said, you need to wait, and you need to take time to receive the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to break that down a little bit and get it back to a biblical understanding. This is why practically it's so important. There is no power to change and live like Jesus and have his victory over sin in your life without being filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. See, we live in a culture of self-help, but Jesus modeled a life of Spirit help. All right? It's not self-help that we need. Do we have to make decisions and do things well? Sure. But what we really need is we need Spirit help. That's how Jesus lived. A matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews, it said that the power that gave Jesus the ability to go to the cross was the Holy Spirit himself. It's the Holy Spirit that sustained Jesus in the wilderness, being tempted. It's the Holy Spirit that led him to perform miracles and to speak the words he spoke. And you and I are supposed to be like Jesus. Romans chapter 8, we're supposed to be conformed into the image of his son. We're supposed to walk like he walked. And if we want our marriages to get better, if we want to be free from addictions, if we want our schools and our workplace and our community better, it starts with us. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And so what we see here is that Jesus said, look, before you tackle that next school semester, before you go to the doctors and you've got to face that uphill climb to deal with your health, before you work on your finances or before you find your new job, make sure that you're taking time to seek the promise of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, he talks about two baptisms. He says, John baptized with water, and that we see a lot on Sunday mornings, that idea of forgive me of my sin, I want to be washed of the old and start anew. But in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said. And these two ideas of these two baptisms are kind of like a coin. And you almost got really, really lucky this morning because I came this close to handing out money in church. I thought we'll do a reverse offering. Everybody will get money. It's going to be exciting. You were only going to get a penny. That's all I was going to give you. But I thought it would still be significant that you, like, how was church today? I was like, they gave me money. This is awesome. All right, I was going to give you a coin and remind you that there's a head and a tails. And in the Christian life, there's a head and a tails. We tend to focus on the first baptism, John's water baptism, which is a baptism of repentance. It's where we say, God, forgive me. But then there's this baptism Jesus spoke about that he actually does for us, that it's not about forgive me, it's about fill me. God, fill me, because now I'm empty of the bad and the old, but I'm just empty. Now, fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me someone new. Make me have a different ability to go deal with that relationship, to be in my family, to face that challenge, to know in this next season that you are with me. There's a head and a tails to it. And sometimes in church, we focus so much on the forgive me that we forget the other side, which is fill me. Because I can't do this. I can't do this. What God asked me to do, I can't do on my own. I need his Holy Spirit. And sometimes I was with a CEO who was in the healthcare industry. And on Tuesday morning, the Lord really put him on my heart. And I sent him a scripture and text. I said, hey, God gave me this scripture text. He called me right away. It was like 6:30 in the morning. He said, how did you know? I said, how did I know what? He said, Sean, he said, you know, and I've been walking with him while. He said, Sean, I've believed in God. I've been walking with him, and I've tried to use my skills to grow my business. And today, I've got a meeting with a $200 billion a year company that wants to engage me in a particular service. And he said, Sean, it's caused me nothing but panic. And he said, and this is what he told me. He said, Sean, I've asked God to bless my business, but the more it's grown, he said, I never knew what a panic attack was until these last few months, because God gave me a blessing, but he said, I haven't had the ability to handle it. I want you to think about that. Some of you are in school right now. You're working really hard. God's going to open up doors for you. Some of you are praying for some transitions. Some of you are praying for that next relationship in your life. Well, when God gives it to you, what are you going to have on the inside to handle it? Because some of us tend to be like, oh, the Holy Spirit, that's about like being in church. It's like, no, that's about all your life. That's like every part of your life. Because you can't handle what God's asked you to do. And even the blessings of God can become something you can't handle if you're not in the Spirit of God. And so when the Bible says to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's saying every part of your life needs to be mine in the Spirit. Not just your religious life, but your professional life, your family life, your academic life. There's two sides of this. I've forgiven you. I've given you the ability to succeed and to grow, but you need me to fill you with the ability to handle what I'm giving you, because it's mine. It's mine, and only I can handle it. He says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will, what's that next word right there? Be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it just hit me. Lord, if I was of a different spirit, I wouldn't have to worry about doing so much to make my life work. I want you to think about this. Like, we live in this culture where it's like, have a super big gulp and have a ridiculous shake with a zillion calories. And by the way, here's a diet pill and and diabetes medicine. It's like we do all these things, and then we've got to do all these things to fix what we've just done. Right? And it's like, if I would be of a different spirit about the way I eat, I wouldn't have to do so much to make my nutrition work. Right? And spiritually, it's like, Lord, I love you, but I do all these things on my own, and then I've got to figure out a way to make it work because I'm not letting the power of the Holy Spirit lead in my marriage, in my family. So then I got to do all these things to make it work because, and I'm always like, God, help me fix this. He's like, if you were of a different spirit, you wouldn't have to do so much to make life work. I just wrote it down. If we would be of a different spirit, so many of our problems would be solved without doing anything. Because the issue is the spirit we're in. I mean, are you catching what our nation is going through right now? Man, people are saying to do a lot of things, but are you catching the spirit that they're all suggesting to do all those things in? Is really anything going to work? No way. Wrong spirit. Wrong spirit. Should we do things? Absolutely. Should we address things? Certainly. But if we're not doing them in the right spirit, you're going to do a whole lot of things and not fix it. Because the real issue is not what you're doing. The real issue is what's going on. It's never been a more important time for you and I to be truly Christians, to live both sides of the coin. We've got to have something filling us to give somebody else because our world needs it right now. And if people don't change in their heart, if they don't change in their spirit, you put all the laws around them you want, nothing's going to change. And again, I'm not saying don't do things legally properly. I'm just saying, in the end, the spirit is the issue, and it begins with you and me. Because I'm pretty sure that if I have a spirit that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, I don't think I'm going to have to do a lot more work to make my marriage work. I don't think I'm going to have to do too much more to make parenting work. I think I'm going to solve a lot of problems at work just by being of this spirit. Do you see how important it is? We live in this world that says it's all about self-help, and even our religious is about, well, God will help you do certain things. The gospel is that we have a sinful nature, a sinful, selfish spirit. And what we need is, as Jesus paid for our sins on the cross, he invited us to be forgiven and emptied of that so that we could be filled with a different spirit. Now, let me tell you this. There are things you can do in the wrong spirit that can last a really long time. But they, I'd tell you what, at some point they break down. And when it breaks down big time. It's about being of the right spirit. Okay, this is what God calls us to do. Now, I notice in Acts 1:8 that Jesus says you have to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, that word receive, we think, okay, give it to me, God. No. That's not the word at all. That word says you've got, it means to seize, to take hold of, and in some ways it means to decide, I'm going to step into this. So a lot of us are like, oh, I believe in God the Father. I believe in God. Oh, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Like, you know, if he wants to do something, I'm here. You know, I'm here. I'm ready to receive. It's like, that's not the receive Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about this decision that this is important, that I need to go after this, that I need to step into this. Why? Because the world is constantly trying to fill you with what is wrong, and your sinful nature is helping. So you've got to actually make an intentional decision to say, God, I need to be filled with who you are. Okay? Now, I love this word receive because in John 7, here's what Jesus said. The one we follow, the Lord of our life, he said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within him. And by this, Jesus meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to, same word, step into, make a choice to grab hold of. I'm going to, yes, this is what I need. You see, you and I live in this life that is going to take its, I mean, the tragedies we have to face in this life are beyond our ability to cope with them, right? I mean, we need a river to flow out of us that can give us what we don't have in us. And we've got to make sure our past denominational backgrounds or that time when we saw something odd about the Holy Spirit, we got to make sure we have not created an attitude that says, I'm not so sure about that. And if God really wants to do something in the Holy Spirit, he'll just come and find me. I'd be careful with that. I'd be careful with that, because that's the enemy kind of taking human logic. And really what Jesus said is, no, there's a river that should be flowing out of you. You don't have to live empty anymore. And you can have something to give the people around you that need life and need hope. But you've got to be willing to receive it. Now, I was thinking about this idea of rivers, and it's actually pretty timely for me, because I think I shared a few weeks ago, for the summer, my day off is Friday, and what I've been doing is my son Caleb and I, we've been taking the bikes and putting them on the Pilot and going, and we've been biking different parts of the James River and hiking. So I've been around the James River all summer, really, really enjoyed it. This is the family. We're on the Pipeline Trail, super cool little spot in Richmond, and there's some rapids over here, and we're just enjoying the river. And it occurred to me, all these days I'm going to the river, that just seeing the river is actually pretty powerful. Actually just makes a difference just seeing it. It's like, oh, that's kind of, you know, because I'm not looking at all the other craziness, right? It by itself, just looking at it makes a difference in my life. And you know what's even better? I get a little close, and man, we're near the rapids over here. Man, hearing it, oh, it's even better. It's just soothing, right? It's just kind of, it affects me just by hearing it. Seeing it's good, hearing it's great, but neither of them are doing what? Not the same as stepping into it. Oh, that's really different. Because see, it's great when I see it and it just kind of gives me something new to focus on. It's great when I hear it and it soothes me. Oh, but when I step in it, it moves me. Right? That's me floating in a river. That was. That was not a dance step. Man, we were over at Pony Pasture, right? Where the no rapids. And I'm there with my son and a few of his buddies, and we get in and we're about ankle deep, and you kind of feel a little bit going. And take this kind of deep step and whoa. Like I wasn't even trying. It was great seeing the river. It's great hearing it. But getting into it was a different experience. Jesus said, those who believe in me, that there's a river from God that's going to begin to flow in you. Ezekiel 47, there's a river that comes from the temple of God going out to all the world to bring it. There's this river to not just say, oh, that's great, I love seeing it. Oh, I love hearing it when we're in the middle of worship and someone gives a word, or I love hearing it, that's great. It's like, yeah, that's good. It's not the same thing as stepping into it. Because when you step into it, it moves you. When it steps into it, you move to a place without even trying. And see, the power of the Holy Spirit is to always move us to the victory, to the peace, to the joy of Jesus. And we don't even have to try. We're sitting here trying. We're empty. We're forgiven. Help me do the right thing. Help me do the right thing. Help me to fix my marriage. Help me to stop with that addiction. We're doing all these things, but we're not. And we go to church and we see the river. I'm like, man, it's just so good to see it, because all I've been doing is seeing my problem. And then we hear a little of the river and we're like, oh, that's really good. But we got to step into the river. We got to step into his presence. Because when we step into it, it starts to move us. Wow, I didn't think I could do that. It's been 3 weeks since. It's, you know what? I'm in marital counseling, and it's different now. And I don't think we're taught. There's like nothing new we're doing. I'm just of a different spirit as I'm doing it. That's what Jesus died to give us. Heads and tails, not just forgiveness, but to be full. And so the question is, well, if that's true, and that it's if the life of Jesus models being filled with the Spirit, then why don't we receive? And I think there's some pretty obvious reasons for that. And as a pastor who walks with a lot of people, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I just want you to, maybe this is yours. You see, some of us, we wrongly worry that power equals manipulation. So we hear, oh, the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, I don't want to lose control. I don't want to do things that I'm going to be like, what did I just do? No. That's not the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? The power of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, power, joy, love, patience, kindness, gentleness. The Holy Spirit's power is something you choose to enter into when you want to move down the river. I want to move more into Jesus. I want to move more into his victory. I choose to step into the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not manipulated, all right? 1 Corinthians 14 tells us that the spirit of the prophets is controlled by the prophets. I don't become a robot or a zombie. What I do is I see the Spirit showing me, hey, I can take you the wisdom, the answer to act like Jesus, to have victory, to be the witness. Why don't you step in and let me move you there? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of us, number two, we think that love equals emotionalism. Okay? Now I want you to hear this. In Romans 5:5, it says that it's the Holy Spirit that pours out the love of Jesus into our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit that does it. Okay? And you will never make a right decision in any area of your life if you don't start from the fact that you are loved by God. You are loved by God on your worst day just as much as you are loved by God on your best day. See, the enemy manipulates that all the time, right? Oh, I messed up, so now I'm just going to. Now I'm just going to, and you start making bad choices. Like, no, you are always loved by God. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit pours out the love of God in our lives. But some of us, we're like, I don't want emotionalism. It's like, well, that's not the same thing. To be filled with the love of God is your identity. It's who you're always meant to be. And somehow we feel like, yeah, I don't want emotionalism. Like, you don't want to feel love? Like, okay, talk to me a little bit, because I'm not following where you're going. And usually the story goes like this. You know, I got hurt being loved in some way, and now I'm not even open. I say I don't need it anymore in my life. And what happens is we live in this American mindset that says I can close down my heart towards one person a certain way and it not affect everything else. Well, that's a Western culture mindset. Your heart does not have different rooms where it's like, oh, I'll hate you, but love you. You know, this part of my heart is all good, but this part of my heart, no good. I'm going to accept being bitter to you, but I'm not going to be bitter to any of you. It's like, no, the Bible says, I mean, what is the book of James says? You know, salty water and fresh water can't come out of the same place. It's just one or the other. There's no compartments. So what happens is when we close down our heart to one person a certain way, doesn't mean we don't deal with forgiveness and things like that, that we have the potential to do the same thing in every other relationship in our lives. Because it'll just, you know, once I decide it's okay to be bitter with that person, and I'm not saying you don't struggle with it, but I'm saying you just decide it's okay. I'm not even going to fight it anymore. I'm just going to stay bitter at that person. What you've done is you've trained your entire heart in every relationship to be open to bitterness now. And basically, somewhere the justification of why you decided I'm going to stay bitter at you, you're going to run into it in somebody else's life and give the okay to be bitter at them too. And I think some of us, if we feel the love of God, it's going to create this waterfall in our life. It's going to open up the floodgates. And it's going to feel like emotionalism to us. You know what it really is? Healing. Like, welcome to feeling again. I don't want to feel all that. I think you should. Because while you're blocking out the things you don't like to feel, you're also blocking out the things you should be feeling. It's happening. There's no little spots. It's one heart. So I think that's where that one comes in. Three, some of us, God gave a word about this a few weeks ago. Some of us have had trauma and tragedy in our life, and it was in a place where we lost control. Someone else took control of our lives in some way that deeply hurt us. And so our vow is, I'm never going to lose control again. And what has happened, though, but what you realize now is, but that's actually hindering you from God's healing in your life, because now you're not giving healing, you're not giving control to God either. So you think to surrender to God is to be unprotected, because that's what happened last time you gave up control. It's like, no, that's not who you're dealing with. This person gives you more control in terms of healthy, good life. You can surrender to him and stay protected. You're more protected. Some of us think unity in the spirit equals uniformity, okay? In other words, I'm an introvert, I'm quiet. When I watch my favorite sports game, I go, Yay. And then we come to church and there's some big personality here. It's like, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. And you're like, they're filled with the Spirit. I can never do that. It's like, all right, look, unity is not uniformity, okay? You need the Holy Spirit to be filled and overflowing with your life. And God will grow you in what it looks like to live that out. But you shouldn't let that fear of comparison keep you from the gift that Jesus came to give you. And then the last one, and this is where Pastor Sean steps on your toes just a little bit, okay? All right? Some of us think that believing is the same as lordship. All right? So what we think is like, oh yeah, I believe. What's the deal? Yeah, Holy Spirit, sure, whatever. Like you're not stepping into it. You're not seizing it. You're not making a priority. Because it's like, oh, I believe. Well, you know what the real issue is? You know, in the book of James, it says that demons believe in God. But believing in God isn't the same as lordship. It isn't the same as God giving. And so the issue of the Holy Spirit comes up and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we kind of like, oh, no. It's like, it's really like, I want to believe, but I don't want to start living it out. You know, and so, and you know what happens? And again, I'll cut from this soon, but, and so then we see other people filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's a little different. We make fun of them, and it's really saying a lot about where we are. Because we're building a case to say, I don't want to go any further. And I just want to encourage you, unity is not uniformity, but we've got to give lordship to Jesus. We can't, are you really, are we really going to enter this next season without his power? Without his presence? I mean, Jesus said, don't go do that without me. That's a mistake. Immerse yourself in that. Don't just stand around the river and look at it and say, hey, looking at it's helping me out. Oh, listening to it makes a big difference. Like, no, don't just do that. Let's step in. So what we do is we build this Christian life where we keep asking Jesus for forgiveness, but never filling. All right? We repent, but we never receive. And I want you to hear this morning. We play it safe. I'm not so sure about it. I'm just going to play it safe. But we've never been more at risk of the enemy's attacks in our lives. I want you to hear that. It's like, well, you know, I wouldn't want to get emotionalism, or I wouldn't want to go do something crazy. It's like, you know what? You're more vulnerable to the deception of the enemy if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit overflowing in your life, your marriage, your family, your workplace. This is what we need. And so I was chewing on this, and I was thinking about the 15 days coming up, and then in our Bible reading, we read Acts 18, and this guy Apollos, right? And this guy Apollos, I think all of us would love to be described as a Christian as he's described, because listen to it. It says, here's this Jew named Apollos, and he's an eloquent man, and he's competent in the Scriptures. He knows the Bible, and he's been instructed in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? I mean, that's what we're all hoping for. And it says this, and he's fervent in spirit. He's passionate about Jesus. He spoke and talked, and this is important, taught accurately. He's not wrong about what he's saying about Jesus, right? The things concerning Jesus. But what's the next line? Though he knew only the baptism of John. Remember? One side of the coin. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. So he's a Christian. He's passionate. He's passionate about Jesus. He wants to make Jesus every day and help people know. And he's not wrong about what he's saying. But notice the next lines. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. More accurately. Interesting word. I was thinking about this, and I thought about a friend that has become a church family member, and so I'm going to invite Mauricio to come up and help us understand what more accurately is all about. Pastor Cassie, can I have the microphone? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Would you welcome Mauricio as he comes up? Mauricio, how are you doing, my friend?
Very good.
Good. So, Mauricio, I want you to accurately know Mauricio, okay? De donde eres? Where are you from?
Soy de Bolivia.
Bolivia.
Bolivia in Sudamerica.
Yes. So from Bolivia to America. ¿Tienes familia?
Familia.
Do you have family?
Dos hijos. y una esposa.
Two children, one wife.
So.
Good choice.
Es todo.
Accurately, no. They're right over there.
Es todo lo que necesitan.
¿Cuánto tiempo has estado viniendo okay. a Cornerstone? When have you come to Cornerstone? How long?
A Cornerstone, unos 3 meses.
Yeah.
3 meses.
Only like 3-4 months.
Sí.
All right? So here's Mauricio. And I remember the day. It was just a few weeks ago. Mauricio raised his hand to accept Jesus as the Lord Savior. And now you know Mauricio, right? So if I ask you about Mauricio, I'll say, where is he from? And you'll say, you're accurate. And then I'll say, does he have family? And you'll say, yes. You'll remember particularly one wife. And you'll be accurate. And I'll ask you, how long has he been at Cornerstone? And you'll say, you have an accurate knowledge of Mauricio. Mauricio, would you take a moment to help us remember the grace of Jesus? I would like you to know Mauricio a little more accurately this morning.
Twice grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are que yo he tenido aquí, su gracia siempre me libró y me guiará al hogar de mi maldad, me libertó mi Salvador.
There you go. Thank you, my friend. Gracias. I think you know Mauricio more accurately now. Some of us, we know some things about the Spirit of God. We're not wrong, but there's so much more to know. You can see, you can hear, or you can begin to pray over these 15 days. God, would you fill me? May I know more accurately. May I know something about you that moves my heart, not just my head. The first time Todd Wilson and I, we were at Mauricio's house with Alejandra and the children, and I saw they had a keyboard, and I said, "Hey, Mauricio, Mauricio's definitely more comfortable first language Spanish." And I said, "Hey, I didn't know you sing." And he said, "Oh yeah, I do." I said, "Well, why don't you play something for me?" And I'm expecting him to play something in Spanish, a song I don't know. He begins to sing in English Lionel Richie's "Hello." Belts it out amazingly. And I look over at Todd, I'm like, and he finishes, and I'm looking at him, and he says, "I love American 80s pop music." I'm like, "Oh, okay." It's like, "I didn't know that." I was just, "Wow, okay." I was like, "Hello, okay." But it just the moment I did that, and then I read Acts 18, I said, that's more accurate. I wasn't wrong about what I knew about him, but I didn't know as much as I needed to. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is the same way, inviting you. And it's like, yeah, you're accurate. How about more accurately? How about step in and understand? Let him move your heart. Let him move the very places that don't seem movable. And so what I want us to do over these 15 days of prayer is saying, oh, Holy Spirit, would you help me know you more accurately? Amen? Could we do that more accurately? I want to know you more. I want to know something about you I haven't known before. I want you to move me away. Jesus said, he was preparing the disciples, says, you're about to encounter something. It's going to be bigger than you've ever done. I've got promises. I've got you to do things that you've never done before. Don't leave Jerusalem before you receive. Step into the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, for a good God-fearing Jew, Jerusalem represented three things: worship, obedience, and sacrifice. It was where Jerusalem was the ultimate place that you worship God at his temple. There, you did it in obedience. You're supposed to show up three times a year with certain sacrifices to say that I love you, I believe in you, my life is yours. So Jesus is saying, if you want the Holy Spirit, you need to spend a lot of time right around here. Everybody getting this? If you really want the Holy Spirit, you got to spend a lot of time right around here. And for the next 15 days, would you say in a new way, I'm going to spend more time around these three things every day? You know, just be a worship song you're listening to, but you're taking time to do it instead of listening to secular music or anything. It's like, you know, for the next 15 days, worship music maybe. Just worship music. Or I don't know what that is. Or I'm gonna belt it out in the shower, you know? Make sure nobody's home. Belt it out in the shower. And then the issue of obedience. You know, there's something I pretty much know I should be doing the right way, and I've just kind of been like, yeah, I'll get to it. 15 days, I'm going to be obedient in an area of life, someplace that I know, it's not. I don't need some big Bible class. I know I should be doing this. And then the last is sacrifice is about saying, I want you more than. Like when I want something more, I'll give up something else. So I'll focus on you. I'll trust you in this area for the next 15 days. I'm going to do it your way, God. And I'm going to stop doing something else to do more for you. So if you're praying 15 minutes a day, maybe for the next 15 days, you're praying and reading the Bible for 30 minutes. You're going to have to give something up. Maybe it's a little TV time or a little Netflix, Hulu, whatever time. Or maybe it's a little not on the ESPN app as much, or HGTV. I don't know where you're at, all right? But for a little bit, I'm going to do that. And maybe it's just I'm just going to have to get up a little earlier. So, you know, you got this back of the sermon notes, and it's got the list. By the way, starting tomorrow, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., this sanctuary is open every day for prayer. And it's not going to be a service. It's just doors are open, some worship going on. If you want to come and start your day here in prayer, you're welcome to do that every day. And the list of in the Bible reading, what we're reading, and then as a church family, who we're praying for is right there. You'll also notice, I don't think it's on here, but if you go to cornerstone.ag 15 days, when we get to things like our missionaries, our elders, our outreach team, if you go to the website, you'll actually see the list of the names of the people who lead that, so you can pray for them by name. And let's pray, because our nation, our community, needs a church baptized in the Holy Spirit. Our families need someone who is baptized in the Holy Spirit. Every part of my life is under the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So maybe on the back of that page, you write down, how are you going to worship more these next 15 days? What are you going to do? And I would encourage you, don't just think about it. Write something down. Do something. Say, I'm going to do this. So that's worship. Obedience. What area will you obey instead of doing it your own way? Because we've all got those areas. That's not going to be hard to find something. For the next 15 days, I'm going to do it your way, God. And then, this is how we wait and we step into wanting more of the Holy Spirit. We do these things. And then, what will you give up to be filled with more of the Holy Spirit? In other words, something's filling you up right now. What are you going to surrender so that there's some more space for the Holy Spirit in your life? The way I grew up, TV was the way you disconnect at the end of the day or whatever. And it's like, that's how I get peace, or that's how I finally, you know, don't worry. So literally, one of the things that is always good for me every so often is do a little fasting of TV again. It doesn't have to be a lot, or you know, you do whatever you want to do, but I'm just saying that was filling up my need. That was my answer to stop worrying about stuff. Let me just be mindless and watch something else, right? So what I was doing was I was using that to fill me with this kind of really not good counterfeit of peace, when what I needed to do was take a little time, sacrifice some of my TV time, and say, let me read a little bit, worship, you know, do whatever. So what would it look like for you for the next 15 days to say, what's one thing that I'm using to fill up my life with peace or giving me a break that I should say no to? And for the next 15 days, say yes, maybe social media for a little bit. What would the Lord say to you today? That's how you don't just sit here and say, whenever you want to give it to me, God. No, this is you stepping into the Holy Spirit. I'd like more of you. That's how you do it right there. And all of us can do that in this room. Doesn't matter what background you're from. Doesn't matter how long you've known the Lord. You can start today knowing him, step right into wanting more of his Holy Spirit. And he's going to do it. Because I'm telling you what, man, on those hot days in Richmond, it was great to see the river. It was cool to hear it. It was a lot better to get in it. A lot better to get in it. And that's what God wants for each of us. He wants to refresh you. So I'm going to ask if we just finish with a moment of decision. If you'd stand. Here's what I'd like to invite us to do to finish up today. One of the battles we always have is, that sounds good, Pastor Sean. Uh-huh. We think about it, but we've got to receive, we've got to take steps into it. So what I'd like us to do is, Pastor Brian's going to lead us into one more moment of worship, and we're just going to sing the song, I Need You More. And while we're doing that, I want to challenge you to take at least one moment during the worship song to either lift your hands and say, Lord, I really do. I need you more. Or I want to invite you to come forward and find a place at the altar just for a few moments and say, Lord, these 15 days are yours, and as you lead, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit more than ever before. And I want to encourage you, stretch yourself in these moments. Do something that says a little bit more yes than you've said before. Of course, before we do that, maybe someone's here, never accept you. believe in God, but you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's got to start there. So could we all right now bow our heads? And I'm just going to ask that as we're in prayer, if you have never, you believe in God, but you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You've never said, Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Lord, begin, fill me with a new spirit. Fill me with a new life. I want to live for you. The Holy Spirit right now is speaking to you about that. He's stirring your heart. And if it's your moment to say, I don't want to just believe in God, I want to make him my Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you right now to make a decision. Don't just think about it. I'm going to ask you to raise a hand nice and high so that you're making a decision this morning. You're taking an action saying, Jesus, today, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. If that's you right now, as the Spirit of God is speaking to you, and I'd encourage you not to resist that, because the Holy Spirit's moving you to blessing in life. If that's you, would you raise a hand right now and say, I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior? We had a wonderful young lady in first. Anybody else in second needs to make that decision this morning. So, Lord, I ask now, your Holy Spirit is with us. This is being filled. This is a different moment. Lord, thank you finally to be in your presence. As we sing this last song, would you lead us into saying yes more and more to you? And Father, make these 15 days, just like the first disciple had time of waiting on the Holy Spirit, help us to do the same now. Worship you in the name of Jesus. Let's worship. Feel free. The altars are open. Lift your hands and come as the Lord leads you.
More than yesterday, I need you more.
Yes, Lord.
More than words can say, I need you more than ever before.
You, Lord, I need. Lord, here we are, waiting, giving these 15 days to wait on you, to ask each day, God, fill me more with the Holy Spirit. Let me receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let every part of my life have your Spirit's power. And Lord, I pray now for my friends that instead of what they will do to face the next season and challenge, they will simply, Lord, experience the refreshing of the river of God, that they will be filled with a different spirit as they walk forward in this life. Bless them now, I pray. Thank you for even this moment that is of a different spirit than what we are used to so much, the rush and the hurry and the worry. We just say yes now. Would you take a moment to offer that place of obedience to God right now? Would you speak to him about it? Say, Lord, I'm asking your Holy Spirit to lead me as I am obedient to Sarah. Would you just take a moment to do that before we finish? Let it be so, not only for us, but as we share in our homes, may it be 15 days of prayer for our family. And we thank you for your faithfulness and the beautiful beginning of this time now. We thank you for it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. It's going to be a beautiful 15 days. May you continue to walk in the Spirit of the Lord. God bless you as you go.